We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
We've seen an uptick in women between 35 and 45 actually using AR. We ran a focus group and there was a fascinating woman. She said, you know, I'm a businesswoman and I have two kids. I actually use AR in the car on the way to the airport when I have time to try on glasses because I don't have time to go in store. And she said she's bought her two last pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses from VR. And her point was a time saver.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. For today's episode, I'm going to step back and hand the microphone over to my good friend and colleague, Jen Overstreet. Jen, take her away.
Our guest today is Andrea Bell, head of WGSN Insight for WGSN. Andrea is well known in the retail industry for advising on emerging trends. She's a fan favorite at any NRF event. And today we're thrilled to have her on the show. Andrea, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. What an intro. Fan favorite. I like that.
You really are. You get really great reviews every time you speak at one of our events. So
great. Well, I love speaking.
Yes.
Love meeting everyone here. It's a great group.
And our co-host today is Chris Stewart from NRF. Chris, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. All right, Andrea, let's just start with a little bit of background on you. How did you get into this business?
It's a really interesting question, and I feel like there's always a long journey, so I'm trying to synthesize it. I actually went to school for journalism and cross-cultural communications. I was convinced I was going to write op-ed pieces that would change the world. And for those of you who have ever been to journalism school, you get out, basically will take any job that pays you to have a byline. Uh-huh. So I started at fashion magazines, and my first job was actually Cosmo Girl. Nice. Give you guys a little date of my age. And my first piece in print was about velvet bodysuits.
Whoa.
Yeah, still upset I didn't get a Peabody.
Seriously.
For that one. Then merged into consumer forecasting and social anthropology, and that's what got me to WGSN.
Fascinating. Huh. Can you talk, you were at Retail's Big Show just this morning giving a presentation on the Consumer 2022. Can you tell us a little about what retailers should expect, emerging trends that they need to be watching?
Of course. I mean, I think the biggest thing for 2022 is just the dichotomy between different generations. And we talk about it a lot, that I think sometimes we're so focused on the data of demographics that we're not looking at those consumer sentiments. And those are really shifting how retailers should engage in terms of just branding, but also messaging and communications. As the retail landscape gets more fragmented, it really truly is niche markets as opposed to mass markets. So the biggest thing that I think will start to shift is, live stream continues to dominate. It's been in Asia and kind of the APAC regions for multiple years, but it's just starting to take root here.
And live stream, you mean like shopping live?
Yeah, shopping live. I mean, I think conversational commerce, and that's essentially what it is. It's having these, what feels like a very much intimate conversations to the masses. And essentially it's home shopping.
Well, I was just going to ask, how does live commerce, this new buzzword, how does that differ from what we've seen for decades with QVC and HSN and all of these?
Yeah. I mean, that's when we first started tracking it, we were just like, well, this is just the next era of at-home shopping. I think it's because, again, they're so used to being on their phone and they're so used to having that interaction where they're not in front of a screen the whole time. And more so, this is primarily for, I would say, Gen Z, those younger shoppers, which we identify Gen Z through Pew Research at 1996 through 2010, just so we can all set the Gen Z stage.
Yeah,
but they're on the go. They're so digitally native that they're used to going on, platforms like TikTok or WeChat. So for them, shopping that way feels very comfortable. This isn't an in-store generation. So actually going in store for them is considered the abnormal. Where shopping on their phone and having that social aspect as well helps. And the fact that with a lot of the live streamers, they're really good. They're KOLs, so they're key opinion leaders. And you can interact with them live. And I know that sounds obvious, but if someone's, the Estee Lauder live stream for Singles Day was fantastic. So if someone said, hey, I actually don't look good in red lipstick, what can you give me now? They would answer right away. So it puts in that call to action.
Is this like a new iteration of the influencer?
Yes. Yes. And even more so, because we're particularly in the West, we're seeing a downturn, and it's what we call vanity metrics.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you think Instagram started in 2010, you had this influencer culture, fast and furious, mm-hmm. and now people don't trust it.
I mean, yeah. we've even they want that authenticity.
They
now.
Want it. If you guys even look at, you know, influencers are now having to post like non-spawn.
Yeah.
And if you go to that hashtag on Instagram, the engagement is so much higher. Mm. And it's the same thing
when they say they're not
when they
being
say
sponsored.
Non-spawn, when it's like, I genuinely use this moisturizer, I'm not being paid. Mm-hmm. And that's also creating a group of nano and micro influencers. Mm-hmm. And smart brands and retailers are starting to play in that space. You know, I don't want to spend, you know, six figures to have one influencer maybe that has 250,000 followers follow me when I can work with 10 nano or micro influencers and the engagement is higher and the sell through is higher.
Well, that's sure like, it feels more personal.
I was just going to say that's personalization on mm-hmm. the large, that's amazing. Yeah. Hmm. That's bringing it together like that.
And it's for certain regions. I mean, you know, sure. in South America, it's still, you know, heavily influenced by celebrity influencers and that kind of what we call the Instagrammable approach. But mm-hmm. definitely for the US and Western Europe, we're seeing a strong kind of turn away from those mass influencers. It's, you know, it's more relatable too.
Yeah.
You know, we're not all in Bali on a beach able mm-hmm. to put on lip gloss every day, yeah. you know.
The lip gloss would like get the sand would yeah. get stuck in the lip gloss.
Thank you.
Nobody wants that. No.
What else is at the top of your list for things to watch?
The top of our list is really, and we talked about it in the earlier session today that we did our NRF, is really looking at AR and VR moving from this hype to actually convenience driving. And there's multiple factors to it. One is, you know, people are time pressed, and even people that are traditional in-store shoppers, meaning that they love to go in store, they love to have that moment. We're all time pressed. We're all short, decision averse. We've seen an uptick in women between 35 and 45 actually using AR. We ran a focus group and there was a fascinating woman. She said, you know, I'm a businesswoman and I have two kids. I actually use AR in the car on the way to the airport when I have time to try on glasses because I don't have time to go in the store. And she said she's bought her two last pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses from VR. Mm-hmm. And her point was a time saver. She's yeah. like, you know, mm-hmm. it's great. And it's driving sales. So that's one aspect, how it's kind of gone again from the hype marketing tool to yeah. actually driving sales. And then the second for kind of younger generations, there is a sustainability play as well. So they can try on something virtually and only buy that product that truly fits them or looks good on them. And as this generation is, you know, for the vast majority of the globe, really concerned about sustainability initiatives and, you know, buying with purpose, they can look on it, they can order it, they can see how it feels, then they get it. So it feels to them a way that's more, I don't want to keep using the word sustainable, but it's more eco-friendly, mm-hmm. I should say.
So you're talking about, you know, the younger generations are more interested in the sustainability and the older generations are interested in this. And I'm wondering about what are you seeing across the board? And, you know, talking about sustainability and oftentimes products and brands that are more sustainable, they can cost a little more. And who's got the more money to be able to spend on these things? And the older generations are also interested in this. And what else are you seeing that's kind of spanning generations?
Yeah, I mean, spanning generations, I would say, would consistently be what we call calm commerce or the mood market. I mean, I think everyone from, again, you know, all ages are searching for less anxiety, more calm, mindfulness. And we started tracking, we called it the mood market in 2015, and it was truly about products that helped better your mood, whether it was a beauty product that had serotonin in it, mm-hmm. or just a calmer retail environment. Again, clearer sight lines in store, taking things out of glass cases made a huge difference for a lot of people.
Accessibility.
Yeah. Exactly. They wanted to touch it. It was that tactile need. I mean, there's no signs of abating. I mean, even just the wellness market in general, we just feel continuously explodes. I mean, from adaptogens now. And
you used that word earlier. What is adaptogens?
So adaptogens are, and there's various, but it's essentially vitamins that also provide mindfulness. And there's a lot of research both ways. So there's a lot of research that they actually do help, you know, so think about mushroom soups or like mm-hmm. reishi and everything like that really coming together. So there's people that are like doing mushroom powders. But what's fascinating is there's been this shift from people getting personalized adaptogens. So you mm-hmm. actually can fill out, you know, this is when I'm peak, here's my hours, and they will send you a vitamin.
Yeah.
Like I said, at WGSN, it's interesting for us because there is scientific data supporting both, that it actually does work. And then on the flip side, it works, but not enough to basically hold the value that you're being charged.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys tracking CBD as well?
Of course. Mm. Of course. I mean, for us, we were joking around saying that's like just in the US particularly, it's just being driven by anxiety measures. I mean, we were like, it's absolutely fascinating how you can track the level of global anxiety through the World Health Organization and the spike in CBD products. Mm-hmm. Obviously, legalization truly helped a huge part. But, you know, it's even a matter of people are shying away from big pharma. They're shying away from pills. We know there's been a lot of opioid problems in the US. So it has become a replacement of, you know, if I have pain, I'm nervous that something might affect me and I might have, you know, addiction problems. So I'll use a topical or in vice versa. You know, I'm not necessarily sure I need this anti-anxiety med, but, you know, it's just once a month that I'm having a really bad day. And so they're using that. The CBD market is continuing to boom.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, you were talking in your presentation today about the motivators, and the very first one was fear.
Yeah.
And the last one was radical optimism, which I loved because I feel like it's probably coming up as an antidote to the fear that everyone is feeling. And so it's that radical optimism. You're like, nope, you guys, I'm going to be optimistic and take your fear and shove it.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it is. I mean, we've started tracking it. I mean, it's true. It's one of the biggest drivers is this idea of radical optimism, which is it's not a WGSN created buzzword. It is an actual behavioral trait. And that's what it comes down to is it's essentially, we are inundated with negativity, fear, doubt right now, and globally, it's not just the US. And that optimism is a brave choice sometimes. It is really hard to be the only optimist in the room and to say things will get better. We will have an outcome that works for us. It's really easy to go kind of down the dark road, the Eeyore mentality, but to stand up and say, you know, guys, we're just going to do this. If we don't have this progress through positivity, we won't get there in the end. And of course, you know, there's a difference between radical optimism and toxic positivity as well. Yeah. We don't want it to be sunshine and rainbows all the time and be like, no, it's okay. Everything's burning, but smile. You know, you can do it. It's fine. But, you know, it's important that we remember that for a while that it does look like we're stalling in a lot of regions with a lot of big issues, we are making progress.
Yeah. Right.
How does that translate to a retailer when you say there's this radical optimism? What should retailers be, how should they be reacting to that?
I think, you know, you can do it in one of two ways, because what you don't want to do, to your point, Jen, I think is you don't want to seem like you're ignoring the big picture issues. And you don't want it to be like, you know, hey, we're all happy and everything's great when there are fundamental things we need to change globally. But in terms of how retailers can do it is transition that into celebrating things. So find things that your core demographic or your core shopper is excited about and engaging them on that level. You know, again, if you look at the experience economy, it's because people truly wanted to feel alive. They've, you know, stuffification. People were saying, you know, I have too much product. I have too many things. I want to spend money on experiences. And the next iteration is the celebration aspect. So it's saying, you know, it's not for the gram. I'm not going to the music festival to live stream myself and get followers. I'm going to the music festival to have fun with my core friends. So retailers that embrace kind of a fine line between being aware and conscious of things that need to be changed, but also not playing into the fear and hope and anxiety through their own branded comms will do well.
I was thinking about two things, but I was just thinking about going back to, I love that radical optimism thing. I'm all about that.
Yes.
But I just think it's, you know, when I hear you say, oh, fear is the biggest driver, I'm just like, ugh, I'm so cynical. And I can totally see how brands can kind of capitalize on that. And, you know, but it's also the flip side of that radical optimism, and brands can definitely use the radical optimism to help their customers with that other side of the coin.
Exactly. And it comes through in messaging.
Yeah.
I mean, you've nailed it. I mean, there's a lot of the things with the optimization market are what you are not and how we can make you better. Mm-hmm. And I think radical optimism is you are doing fine. Mm-hmm. And this is how we're going to get to the next level. Even.
Yeah. Hope you be more fine. Right.
As you've been doing this research for a while, is there anything that's come up recently that's just kind of like a weird, like a just a favorite quirky trend you've noticed that maybe like a...
Oh, there's so many.
Something that you just want to just dive into, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the hard thing is, like, truly, because we have a fantastic global team, and we're constantly sharing knowledge. For the Insight team, our big mantra is share knowledge. Because I think, again, we can get our own silos and our own filter bubbles. And so we have people on Insight sitting in all of the countries. But there's a few that come through every now and then where you really struggle to understand how it's gaining popularity. In terms of, like, the quirkiest, I don't know if this is necessarily a trend, but we did a massive presentation to a very small group of people recently, and we got asked midway through, a guy completely interrupted the presentation. We were actually presenting. A guy raised his hand and said, you know, you guys don't have enough cat trends. And I thought it was truly animal print. I thought he was maybe saying, you know, we don't have enough, you know, animal mm-hmm. print in this deck that we were presenting, our mm-hmm. teams were presenting. Mm-hmm. And no, he actually meant what was trending for clothes for cats. And that was my reaction. You guys can't see, but the face is in the room. So he was
clothes for cats
with a company that designed cat clothes and was very upset that we hadn't done a cat forecast.
Oh, man. You heard it here first, people. Yeah.
So
clothes for cats.
You know, keep going. And we actually, because of that, which again is the funniest thing, on our sister site, L&I Lifestyles Interiors, they now do full pet Halloween costumes, Christmas costumes. I mean, the pet industry is booming. It's pets.
That's
over
an
people.
Excellent point.
When we release our holiday data, one of the most popular pieces of content at NRF is the, what is it, favorite pet costumes for Halloween.
Yeah.
Every time I'm like, what are people doing?
And also, has anyone ever tried to put a piece of clothing on a cat?
They hate it.
They hate it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it makes sense. So many, you know, guys, we're talking about, like, birth rates going down.
Yes.
More people are, you know, we jokingly call it pets over people. People are like, I don't want kids, but give me a dog or a cat. That market is huge.
It's like plants, same thing. Where plants are just like, and younger people are like, I cannot be responsible for a baby. Maybe a dog. Ooh, a plant.
Yes, I will. Yes, exactly.
If someone helps me figure out what plant and where to put it and how to take care of it.
How to water it, everything.
Yes.
But yeah, so there you go, guys. Cat costumes for Halloween are always trending. It's also confirmed by NRF data as well. So there you go.
It is. Yeah. But you know, well, one of the most popular costumes for a dog is a cat.
Yep.
And for a cat is a dog.
Dog. No. That is true. I guess we're really going for interspecies right there.
Yep. So interesting.
All right, Andrea. I wish we could go on, actually. But we're almost out of time. We have one more segment before you go.
Okay.
It's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So for this segment, we're just going to ask you a couple questions. Just answer with the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh,
short answers. Don't think too hard.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, Chris.
Rapid fire.
Yes.
Speaking of Halloween, what's the best Halloween costume you've seen recently?
The best one I saw recently was Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction. And she actually had the full needle in the chest that stayed, and she won. So there was a lot behind that, and I applaud her for making it happen.
Yes. Gotta commit.
It's a great one. What is your pet peeve at work?
Oh my gosh, as Jen's sitting here watching me, I'm our marketing manager. My biggest pet peeve at work is when people don't read their emails. And then they send you an email 10 minutes later being like, can you follow up on that? And it's like, actually, if you read the first email, it's all bulleted. All bulleted for you.
Mm.
Yeah.
I just came up with this one. High top Converse or lower Converse?
I'm a low top all the way girl.
Nice.
And I even go throw it back. I like a good Jack Purcell too.
Yeah.
We can do both. You don't have to just do the Chucks.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your must-see TV?
Oh, I'm horrible, but I'm obsessed with Live PD. Everyone thinks this is the most...
What is Live PD?
So Live PD is essentially Cops 2.0, and it is in 9 cities across the U.S., and it's all live. So the criminals, the police, the alleged criminals, everything is filmed live, and there are the best and worst parts of humanity all in one show.
That doesn't surprise me. You watch what people do for a living. You're interested in their behavior. That makes sense.
And weird fact, the guy, Styx Larson, couldn't make that name up.
Uh-uh.
He is one of the hosts. He's actually dating Lana Del Rey.
Oh, yes.
So if you want something to Google, that you just go down that internet hole.
I
how
like
did
that
happen?
Pop culture note. That was beautiful.
Yeah. It, it blows me away every time. I'm nice. Like, what? How did that? Cool. I'm not judging. Live your best life. Uh-uh.
Love is love, baby. Yeah, that's good. You keep it.
All right, okay. Chris, you end us off here.
Last question. Mm-hmm. What are you reading lately?
That's really difficult. This is hard rapid fire. I actually read 30 minutes each night.
Oh,
and it's
so good.
Some weird, actually parental training for my mom. My mom would let all of us stay up 30 minutes later as children if we read every night for 30 minutes. So now I actually can't go to sleep without reading it.
Okay.
But I tend to like historical nonfiction. Mm. The last book I read that I actually just had to speed read was Station 11. I say
Jen and I have, we love that book.
Yes. So real good. Yeah. And we read so much heavy stuff from work constantly. I mean, we're reading white papers on teen suicide in Europe. You know what I mean? So you just, you kind of just need an escapism.
Yeah.
But I would say everyone check out Station 11.
She has a new book coming out.
I know.
Emily St. John Mandel, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you for her.
Thank you for the
listeners. But please check out the book. She's got a great narrative, so many interesting points. Yeah. And I like the idea that it's futurism as well.
Yeah.
Good recommendation.
Seriously.
All right. Nice. So, Andrea, before we go, where can people go if they want to find out more about what you guys are doing at WGSN?
Yeah, I would say definitely go to WGSN.com. And then if you scroll through on About Us, it's pretty simple. You can talk to, depending on where your region, you can talk to someone right away about the different subscription services. So we have 5 different platforms, everything from fashion, beauty, to obviously lifestyle and interiors, and our consumer marketing platform is Insight. But WGSN.com.
Awesome. And hopefully you'll be at another NRF event in
the
very near future.
I hope you guys have me back.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful conversation, Chris. Thanks for co-hosting.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Jen. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And listeners, you can find more information about today's discussion on our website, retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks for listening.